kick, though. That's the other bad part for Chicago, giving up a set piece to the Columbus Crew.
25 stories that made MLS season 2, quarantine edition, pandemic edition. I don't know if I should keep saying that.
Yeah, I mean, this is more the Hall of Fame edition.
Oh, yeah. 25 stories that made MLS Hall of Fame edition season 2. I'm Neetal Raman.
I'm Tootle Raman.
And you heard the clip. We're talking about Chad Marshall coming in at number 4.
The first defender.
First defender on the list.
Yes. I'm actually curious. So I know at the end, usually we'll talk about your favorite moment, but, you know, every single player before now has been an attacker, which is
right.
Easy.
Yeah.
And Chad Marshall is a defender.
And yeah. I mean, here's the disappointing thing. It's going to be a goal.
Oh, you're not going hipster?
No.
You're not going with like a
no
nifty defensive positioning where he doesn't even have to make a tackle?
I mean, if I were to, I don't know how easy it would be to find the perfect clip of that.
Yeah.
But this one makes sense. It's a header. It's a goal off a set piece. It's Chad Marshall.
I mean, that could be on his tombstone too, right? He was really good at it.
Yeah, for real.
It's Chad Marshall. I mean, like, and it's kind of like, symbolic of his career, right? You're like, when he does it, you like kind of expect it. It's like, oh yeah, that's what Chad Marshall does.
Yeah, it is what he does.
Being Chad Marshall.
But as always, we're gonna start off with his accomplishments, right? We gotta justify him being the number one defender and coming in fourth on this list.
Fourth on this list, which means I think he had the fourth best MLS career.
Right.
And. Again, that doesn't mean he was the fourth best player ever, but the fourth best, like, in totality, MLS career.
Okay.
His like, achievements in Major League Soccer are up there with anyone else. So let's go down the list.
Yeah.
Number one, he was a 3-time MLS Defender of the Year. He's the only person who's ever done that.
Really?
Yeah, no one else has ever done that, which is pretty impressive.
I would think that. At least one other defender could get 3 times. I guess not.
No, I mean, actually, 2 times is pretty hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aiko Parra just won 2 in 3 years. But 3 times defender of the year. He's a 4-time MLS Best 11, right? So he's tied for 5th in that stat. Number one is D-Row and Landon.
And tied at first, yeah.
And then there's 2 other players who have 5.
I'm assuming Moreno?
So Moreno has 4.
Okay.
The 2 other players who have 5 are Armas and Robin Fraser.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, all time in terms of that number, 35,000 minutes played. It's 4th of all time in the league.
It's a lot of minutes.
Man has played a lot of games.
And I think I'm correct about this. He only ever played in MLS.
Only played in MLS, only played for 2 teams.
Yeah.
Columbus Crew and Seattle Sounders.
Sounders, yeah.
He has 8 major trophies, so wherever he's gone, he's won.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only gone to 2 places, but like across multiple different eras within those teams itself, he's won trophies, right? So 3 times MLS Cup winner, 4 times Supporters Shield winner, 1 time US Open Cup winner. He's a winner. Here's a crazy one. He averages as a defender less than 1 foul for every 90 minutes played.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
That's not even cards. That's a foul. Yeah, you're supposed to foul if you defend.
Yeah. I mean, it happens once in a while. You know, and like when you think about Chad Marshall, you think about set pieces and goals and you think that he's like a big dude. But I think that kind of shows like how good he was in positioning.
Yeah. And clean tackles.
Clean tackles. And like, cause like the defender I think about when I think about clean positioning all time is Michael Parkhurst.
Yeah.
Chad Marshall is as good as Michael Parkhurst in that, and he's big.
Yeah.
And he could defend set pieces, like, incredibly well, right? So,
right.
In the same vein, 18 yellow cards in 16 seasons. So, barely more than one yellow card a season. So, like, not fouling, not getting cards, never at danger of getting thrown out. By the by, he's only had one red card ever.
And that was at the, like, later stage of his career, right?
I want to say it was his last season, or like right before his last season.
Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, like, Landon has similar stats
as an attacker
with cards as an attacker.
Right.
That's a defender.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Great positioning. And just like Landon, like you said, has the MVP named after him. Like, honestly, defender of the year should
be named after Chad Marshall?
Should be named after Chad Marshall. And the only reason why he's not is because he just retired in 2019.
Right.
And so, literally, you can put his stats against anyone and certainly against any defender. Like, he is, in my opinion, he has the best career of any MLS defender in the league ever.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. So, it makes sense to me why he's number four.
I agree. The thing that's going to be interesting for me is that because he's an all-time MLS player, I'm wondering what you could even tell me about, like, what's his origin.
What's his
story?
But
we're not gonna get a story about Europe, I think, right? We're not gonna get.
Yeah, it's gonna be unique, right? So the first three players that we did were Landon Donovan, Jaime Moreno, and
DDR,
and DDR, right? And all three of those players were scouted very early.
Right, thematically kind of similar.
To go to Europe. And for each one of them, in different times of their early part of their career, Europe didn't work out.
Right.
And that's how they got into Major League Soccer. Chad Marshall is a bit different. I mean, he doesn't go to Europe. His story starts in California. That's where he's from.
Okay, yeah.
And he plays high school ball, but he also plays club soccer. And back then, club soccer is like, even today, is quite big. Today, we think about MLS Academy systems, but obviously that didn't exist before.
Right.
So you played for your club soccer team. Like, I played at club soccer in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Not very good. Not a very good team by any means. But everyone, even the highest level players, they played at club soccer, right?
Right.
And so his team was a team called the Irving Strikers.
That's Irving, California.
Irving, California, okay. Right?
Yeah.
And they're an incredibly good team. Like, they win 4 state titles in California. California being...
State titles, wow.
A hotbed for soccer. You know, so... and he's so good that he's obviously scouted in the ODP level, the Olympic Development Program, and eventually is brought into Bradenton to, spend it a little bit more than a year with the best 16, 17-year-olds in the country.
He's definitely younger than Donovan Beasley, right?
Right. So
which class was he? Which class of Bradenton was he?
So if you listen to season one, I think it's the 4th episode, it's called Bradenton. We talk about the history of Bradenton. It was the first real academy, which was trying to give a professional setting for kids. And the first class ever was the 1999 U-17 class for the World Cup. And that's right. Landon Donovan, DeMarcus Beasley,
Beckerman, Onyewu,
Bobby Convy. Those 5, an all-time class. I don't think there's been a better class since then at any U-17 level for the U.S. team. But they end up, I think, getting nearly 500 U.S. men's national team caps across the 5 of those players.
Yeah.
And so the second class is the Chad Marshall class, the 2001.
Like, literally the next year?
Yeah, because U-17s are every 2 years.
Oh, every 2 years. So the next cycle would be 2 years later.
Next 16 and 17-year-olds, yeah. And so the next class is a 2-year class, basically, and Marshall's part of that class. Now, back then, I mean, the people who were running Bradenton were just like, we hit a home run, and now we're going to win the World Cup, because if we get 5 players like Donovan, Beasley, Onyewu, every class.
No, you're not.
Then, yeah, you're talking
about
a giant
struck gold
lead
on the first one.
Yes.
And then people assume that gold would just keep coming back, and it's not.
Which we know it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't, right? And but, you know, I would say the 2001 U-17 class is more like a normal class that you would see out of most U-17 programs.
Who else was with them that year?
So the most, he wasn't the most touted, so he's recruited. The interesting thing is, like, three of his teammates from Irving Strikers.
Oh, the club team.
The club team was recruited to come to Bradenton, which is kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, that's
how
good that
team. Three out of them?
Yeah. One is a guy, I don't know, David Chun. Two, Jordan Harvey.
Oh, okay.
Jordan Harvey, still playing, still kicking it, LAFC. And then third one is Tyson Wall. And so Tyson Wall is also another center back. And it, for a short period of time, he actually played with Chad Marshall and in Columbus Crew, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't remember Tyson Wall.
But it's crazy to think about, like, if you remember or not remember him, like, playing with someone in high school, in club, then playing, then being brought into the second ever
class. This is in danger of also sounding like anime. Like, yeah. We grew up together.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, your career's path, they cross, and then you play together again in the professional ranks in your late 20s. It's kind of a cool story. But, I mean, those four, it's incredible that, like, you know, one club team, you know, sent four players to the U17 residency program.
Mm-hmm.
But none of those four players were the most touted. The most touted were number one and number two were Eddie Johnson and Santino Quaranta.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
So EJ has a great, U.S. men's national team career.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, he's already signed with Dallas. So he's like a Project 40 professional player. And same thing with Santino Quaranta, who gets a few caps. Back then, you know, he was seen as a huge talent. He just doesn't quite make it.
Have the breakthrough.
Doesn't really have the breakthrough. I know there's some personal stuff that he went through, but, you know, he's known for, like, DC United days, basically. And after them two, like, your next tier of players were Mike McGee and Justin Mapp. Mike McGee obviously has a great MLS career.
I feel like Justin Mapp is another one of those players that could have been crazy, crazy good. And was just, like, right on the edge of...
Justin Mapp was, like, the slightly not as good version of Eddie Gavin to me.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
I'd definitely say that.
And Eddie Gavin, again, at one point, you thought Eddie Gavin was going to be the best U.S. soccer player of all time.
Yeah, same thing. It's the same thing.
But he was, like, Eddie Gavin was best 11, I think, at 17 or 18.
Right.
And it just never fully culminates for him.
All right, but that's a good idea of, like, what the timeline is here. Like,
yeah.
When he's coming in.
He's coming in there. He's not the most touted. He's not even the second most touted. He's not even the third most touted.
But also, he's a center back. So it's like...
True.
They don't get as much respect or attention.
As an attacker would. Right. And the four I just said, they're all attackers. And then there's two... So Mike McGee and Justin Mapp, after the residency program and in the U17, they go straight into Major League Soccer as well,
mm-hmm.
right, and get drafted. And there's actually two other players, Craig Capano and Jordan Stone, who also get drafted in Major League Soccer immediately. They don't have huge MLS careers. And that U17 team is pretty good. But after that residency program, this is the first time, you know, we're talking about a player who went to college. He goes to Stanford. He doesn't go to Major League Soccer.
Oh, okay.
All the other players that we talked about so far, they all signed professional contracts by 18. You know, like, I think LD by 16.
Right.
Moreno by, I think, 17. And
so,
De Rosario by
18. Then how old is, how long does he spend time with Stanford before he makes a move to MLS? Like, what age is he when he goes to MLS?
He plays 2 years, and he's, like, the number one recruit in the college game. So of all the players as a freshman, he's the number one person that any college wanted to get. Stanford gets him. He's All-American both years. And after his second year, he goes and plays the U20 World Cup as a 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that U20 World Cup is actually the first U20 World Cup of Freddy Adu.
First of four. Was it
three or four?
Either way, who plays even two? Who
plays? Adu. Yeah, Freddy Adu does. And again, we're always gonna say this, but we do a Freddy Adu episode that's, I think, quite good.
Yeah,
that talks about why he does that.
All right, so that's Freddy's also first.
Yeah,
U20,
and Dempsey's in that one.
Mm.
EJ's in that one. Bobby Conby's in that one.
Okay. Right?
And that one is a really good team. They win groups. They eventually lose in the quarterfinals to Argentina. I mean...
No shame.
2-1.
No shame.
And Marshall's quite good. So he's like, all right, I'm ready to go pro.
Mm-hmm.
He joins the MLS Super Draft 2004. again, this is now the first player we're talking about that enters a league through the draft system.
Yeah.
Right?
So this is a very different...
Very different path
from our first three guys.
And you would think, like, all right, number one recruit going into college, number one player within college, has a great U20 program. You would think a player of this caliber is going to be the number one pick, and he's not. He's the number two pick because the number one pick is Freddie Adu.
Right, right. They do that. They do that special deal.
DC United takes the first pick.
But I'm assuming Columbus is stoked about that.
They have to be, right? I'm sure they would have taken Freddie Adu too, because, like, again, at that point, Freddie Adu is 14 and he's killing at the U20 level, and he's probably the number one 14-year-old in the world, and the marketing that comes with Freddie Adu would be huge,
right?
But we talk about
the quality of a player you get after him,
yeah,
and Chad Marshall,
yeah, you're stoked, and to be honest, we talk about it in the Freddie Adu podcast, but like episode in season one, but. Freddie Adu was only going to go to DC United. That was part of the deal when he signed Major League Soccer. Yeah. So Columbus gets number two, and yes, of course they're stoked. They're sort of in a rebuilding time, right? So Columbus signs and drafts Chad Marshall, and they trade for Robin Fraser. So yeah. Robin Fraser is a five-time MLS Best 11.
Wait, but how old would Fraser be?
Fraser is 37 years old.
37.
Yeah. And he, there's a few articles about Fraser's experience when he gets traded from Colorado to Columbus, and he's not happy. Hmm. He's specifically not happy because, like, he knows Columbus is rebuilding and he's going to play center back.
And it's got to be his last year, right?
Ends up being his last year. I'm sure in his mind he's like, this is my last year, I don't want to go out like this, and I'm playing next to a 19-year-old kid, you know, I'm 37.
right
I'm 37.
It's like I'm a grown man with grown problems.
He's double the age of Chad Marshall, man. Yeah, I'm 35. I don't know if I can talk to a 19-year-old at work every day.
I don't think we should even talk about this on the pod.
You know, like, I feel like we'd just be in different plane. Like,
yeah, you're in different levels. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not super excited in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But, like, the team starts clicking, and it's really led by their partnership, right? Fraser is obviously way more experienced. He's, like, a U.S. men's national team player. From back in the day, he at this point has already won four times Best 11, so he's very experienced. He has positioning down, but his legs are leaving him. Obviously, he's 37.
Yeah,
Marshall's 19, right? So that kind of interplay between a more athletic, younger, and someone who's more savvy. Cause often, if you look at center back pairings, they work really well together, right?
Yeah,
and it ends up being kind of the foundation of a team that goes on a 19-game unbeaten streak in Major League Soccer, and they end up winning the Supporters Shield as a huge surprise.
19 unbeaten.
19.
Is that a record? That's still a record, right?
There's not many records from 2004 that still are standing today.
Uh-huh.
Like, the goals record doesn't exist. I mean, like, attendance, points.
A lot has changed.
Changed. 19 is still the record.
Wow.
It's been tied. It's been tied by FC Dallas, I think, in 2010. But it's never been beaten.
FC Dallas. I would have thought it was LAFC.
Right? You would think, like, LAFC or even, like, the Red Bulls or Atlanta teams.
Or Atlanta that won in 2018, yeah.
Yeah, that came really close. Or even a Toronto FC team.
Yeah.
But, like, if you think about it, 19 is a long unbeaten streak. Unbeaten streak.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So ties and wins.
Yeah.
19 games is a long time to go without losing.
Right.
Like, if you look at the best teams in Europe in their club play, where they're usually better than most teams that they play.
I mean, I think that's Liverpool numbers, right? Liverpool.
Yeah, you have, like, that kind of level of stuff, and so you need luck.
As of 2020.
Yeah.
Right. Put that in there.
But, yeah, it's, like, it's crazy. It's a crazy streak they go on, right?
Right.
An all-time streak.
So the pair is working.
Pair is working. They win Supporters Shield. So right off the jump, you know, Marshall's winning trophies.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin Fraser actually makes Defender of the Year in his last year. right? And I think that kind of leads into what Bobby Warshaw, I think, Nate called it. He called it the Chad Marshall theorem.
Which is what?
It's this idea that when you have a Chad Marshall on your team, everyone else plays a lot better. And it's built on two ideas. One is a center back is a position that lifts everyone else on your team. If you have a good player there or a great player there, it opens up your options to do other things. You can press. You can sit deep. You could just do a lot more things when you have a really, really good center back.
Yeah, because he's, like, reliable.
Yeah, and then two, yeah. Center back is usually the weakest position in MLS because all your spending, especially for foreign players, is usually in attackers.
Right, and not in the modern-day era, like, how many center back DPs are there, really?
Right, so when you luck into the drafting a great one, mm-hmm. and pairing them with a older but still has some special
right.
years in their legs, like, you've really lucked into this thing that makes the rest of the team much better. And yeah. that's kind of what they call the Chad Marshall theorem. It's, again, coined by Bobby Warshaw. I think it's quite good, and it's true about center backs in general, but it'll be true about Marshall's career throughout his entire career. So Frazier wins Defender of the Year, and Marshall obviously has a trophy. He doesn't even win Rookie of the Year because he
Who does?
Happens to be in the same rookie class as Clint Dempsey.
Dempsey, yeah. It's Revolution Dempsey.
Revolution Dempsey.
That's so just unfortunate timing.
Can't be number one pick, mm-hmm. can't be Rookie of the Year, but, like, has a great year, right? Next year, Frazier retires, and the partnership kind of breaks down. And the year after that, Columbus hires Siggy Schmidt.
Right.
In 2006, right? Right. And Siggy, I mean, was notably fired in 2014 of the LA Galaxy despite being in first place. It's like a very famous firing because it made no sense at the time.
This was what was the reason?
I think it was the style of play. Like, they wanted a more attacking style of play.
Okay, but what was, I think you told me this, is he had a winning record at the time that they fired him.
They were in first place.
First place.
They were in first place.
Did you just say that? Did I just space out?
You just spaced out a little.
Yeah. That's not, like, why would it, all right, so style of play is the reason?
Style of play, and even though they were in first place, they went through, like, four or five games without winning. And Siggy wasn't getting along with some people. Like, he was known for, like, blowing up at people. Mm-hmm. So maybe there was a cultural element as well.
Okay.
But it's a very famous firing because they were in first place in the West when he got fired. He ends up going to the U-20s and then gets hired by Columbus in 2006. And this is where, like, you know, Siggy wins a lot of games. I mean, he won a lot of games in LA, but he starts winning a lot of games in Columbus as well, right?
You know, I want to say real quick, I don't think I spaced out. I think it just not registered. It just didn't register in my brain.
I mean, it is a crazy stat.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's a crazy one. And Siggy famously, I think the following year, he signs Guillermo Barrascoledo.
Yeah.
From Argentina, Argentinian Man, legend. So good. And, you know, it's one of the things he said. He's like, hey, L.A. could recruit these Latin American players to be, like, these offensive engines and these great teams, and Columbus mm-hmm. lacked that. And so Siggy made it happen. But during 2007, Marshall's kind of fighting off concussion symptoms, and it's kind of shut down early. So the team doesn't really fully collect the steam and momentum needed. Leading into 2008, so everything starts clicking. So you have Chad Marshall in the back line, Frankie Hajduk's in this team, Guillermo Barrascoledo's in the peak of his powers in Major League Soccer, he's pulling the strings. They win Supporters Shield, they win MLS Cup mm-hmm. against my Red Bull New York.
At the time, also my Red Bull New York.
2008,
yeah, that one sucked, Western Conference champions. That one sucked because I was in college and I definitely was the only one who cared about MLS Cup in my immediate circle.
I was
all. And I watched it in my dorm while everybody else was doing dumb-ish partying or whatnot. But I remember watching that and just kind of being crushed. Like, that team had, like, Dane Richards at the time was, like, one of my favorite players.
Red Bull New York, I mean, they were definitely a surprise. And
it was weird. Like, why do they ended up in a different conference?
Western Conference, yeah. Because of the way the seating was set up.
Yeah.
Like, it was all
it was
like
a
really
very weird year.
But I watched it in Nevada Smith's. Yeah, I had a great time. Unfortunately, it's the only appearance we have in Major League Soccer, MLS Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose to a very good Columbus team.
And Chad Marshall
scores the
game. Heads the game winner. Yeah.
On a corner kick.
Mm-hmm.
On a set piece.
Yep.
Off a GBS
I will
corner.
Say, that's not my pick. It's not my pick. And
that's
now that I'm
pick.
Thinking about it, I might be biased.
Yeah.
I might have not picked this one.
Still hurts.
Ah.
The
final score, by the way, was 3-1, but he did have the game winner.
The game winner.
Yeah, he had the second goal.
Second goal.
Yeah.
Marshall wins Defensive Player of the Year that year.
Mm-hmm.
Guillermo Barros-Clodo wins MVP. They win Supporters' Shield. Marshall's best alive in. He has the game winner in MLS Cup. I mean, it's really, really good. And at this point, he's pretty much cemented as the best defender in Major League Soccer, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's around 24.
At this point, yeah.
If this were to happen now,
mm-hmm.
right, so a 24-year-old center back, defender of the year in Major League Soccer, winning the Shield, winning the Cup.
You're probably drawing attention from other clubs.
You're going to Europe. Yeah. Like, it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and in fact, defender of the year.
Defender of
young.
The year.
Yeah.
And so he goes to Mainz. And in Mainz... who's not even first division.
Okay,
so
this is what I don't know. I didn't know that.
Ah, okay. So 2008.
So Mainz is that. That's Germany, right?
Germany.
Okay.
So he's on trial in Mainz. So this is another thing that doesn't really happen.
Trial?
Yes. So now it's like, if you are a really good Major League Soccer player, you're just getting offers. Like Reggie Cannon.
Offers.
Right now is just getting offers. Like he's not... going to a European team, training them.
Trial?
Training with them for 2 weeks. And Chad Marshall.
Talk about trials?
During the offseason, goes to Mainz. They're like, we don't know if we want you.
I think like that, I think that alone is a good like little pin point of like how much the league has changed.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. You know what I think about
League or reception of the league.
Yeah. Yeah. How well is better perceived in Europe?
Yeah.
You know what I think about Childs is like the respect an actor gets when they don't have to audition for roles anymore.
That's like an Oscar-winning actor, though.
True. I guess it's not very true in world soccer.
No, I know what you're going for conceptually, though. It's like I actually think this is funny. I think some actors win an Oscar and then their career like kind of ends because now you're an Oscar-winning actor. So you're getting like certain type of roles after that.
Right.
And if you don't keep up your career, then it's like, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but it's like, there's a pressure to being an Oscar winning actor. You know, I don't know. That's a desperate thought, but I get what you're trying to say.
It's a
like
respect. That
you've gotten this award or you've gotten this honor or respect in like a high level. Yeah, if someone was like, let's get Tom Hanks, you're getting Tom Hanks.
You're not
going to have Tom Hanks come in and be like, can he play this, though? Like, if you already had that idea, like, you're going to get Tom Hanks. You're going to pay him.
Yeah, and not to say that Chad Marshall is a Tom Hanks of center.
Right, but the concept is there. I get you.
And, like, and he's trialing for Mainz, which, again, is not the Bundesliga, like first,
yeah,
second division Bundesliga, yeah. Right? And it's like, I mean, at that time, it's definitely a higher level, but it's not like, you know, we're not talking about one of the great clubs in the world. It's not like Tim Howard to Manchester United.
No, not at all.
Which he didn't actually trial for
that. He didn't trial for that.
I guess. I mean, they knew.
I guess center backs just don't get respect in general.
I think that's a theme. It's a theme. And so he's going on trial, and there's a few articles actually in Germany about, like, he's doing pretty well. And Mainz is like, we're interested. And Major League Soccer and the Columbus Crew are like, we can't lose this guy, right? So
yeah,
they give him a pretty significant contract extension. And he takes it. And I think the inference, even though they don't share the exact numbers, the inference is he was making a decent amount of money. I would say it's around $300,000, which is a lot back then in 08.
Yeah.
But he probably could have made more in Mainz, but he gave up that money for a little bit of security, but also, like, 2018 was going to come back intact. You're like, hey, we have, like, all the pieces to run this back. Like, why not make this into a dynasty?
Right.
So he signs it. You know who doesn't sign a contract extension? Siggy Schmidt.
Oh, right.
He leaves to the Seattle Sounders because they're the new MLS expansion team, and they're like, let's just hire the best coach in Major League Soccer now in 2009. And Siggy then takes Brad Evans with him in the expansion draft.
Okay, yeah.
Columbus is good in 2009. In fact, Marshall again is Defensive Player of the Year and MLS Best 11, and they win Supporters Shield. But they don't win MLS Cup again, right?
No.
And I think it would have been hard to do replacing the coach, you know, like that. Fun fact, Marshall wins Defensive Player of the Year in 2009 despite playing only 18 games.
Say again?
He only plays 18.
He gets Defender of the Year, but only after 18 games?
He only plays 18 out of the...
I'm assuming from injury or something?
I think there was a little bit of injury. I'm sure there's some national team
call. But that's like half a season.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I think they're playing 28 or 30 games. Yeah, it's pretty close.
That's still almost half a season.
So there's two ways to take this. Is either he already had a cemented reputation as the best defender in the league, or he was so dominant for those 18 games.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Anyway, so he has one of those years.
I don't think that's something that ever happens again.
You know what? I don't think it's a good one.
I don't think that's something that ever happens again. I don't think you'll ever see that. I don't think anybody plays 18 games and then wins best anything.
They won't play 18 games and win like Defender of the Year, but like the one I can think of most recently that makes the best 11 playing around 18 games is Wayne Rooney when he joined DC United. I don't think he should have gotten it, by the way, but
right.
it's happened again. But yeah, all right, so that's a weird one. And then every year after that, it kind of like they get a little bit worse. Because I'm obviously Guillermo Barros-Schelotto, Frankie Hajduk. These aren't young dudes at this point. They're much older.
Yeah, he's a hey dude.
Yeah. That's the second time you made that joke in this podcast series.
Yeah, why would I stop?
Yeah.
Is the real question.
But Marshall's is still very good. He signs an extension in 2011. He becomes a captain. You know, and so it seems like he's on track of being a Columbus Crew player, like, for life, you know, like through ups and downs. 2012, they don't make the playoffs. Although they do sign Federico Higuain at the end of that year to kind of replace GBS. And 2013, they don't make the playoffs again. Right. So Marshall's a very good player and the team is not that good anymore. And this leads to giant changes in the Crew.
Right.
First and biggest is that the Hunts sell the Crew to Anthony Precourt. Again, if you want to listen to, we have an entire kind of episode on this and Save the Crew. And a lot of this is not necessarily the performance of the team, but more about like the financial aspect of a stadium.
Right.
And all that good stuff. And making sure like owner and investors aren't owning more than one team, of which the Hunts had FC Dallas and the Crew. And so they find one, they sell it to Precourt, who then replaces the coach at the time with Greg Berhalter.
Gotcha.
Berhalter is the coach and sporting director. And he comes in and he's like, all right, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to play my style. We all know the Berhalter style now. And one of the first things he does, he trades Chad Marshall, who's 29. He's not old, especially for a center back.
Right.
Especially when you consider, you know, when he joined the league, Robin Fraser was Defender of the Year at 37.
Right.
Marshall had 10 years with the club, and he gets traded for what? Allocation money and a third-round draft pick.
That sounds like a bad deal.
It just keeps popping up, right? Where you're trading, like, these all-time players. Like, the amount of times Dwayne De Rosario got traded for peanuts.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I think 18 games Defender of the Year is one of those weird ones that similar DDR, if like played with three different teams
and one MVP.
MVP. It's like, yeah, we'll never happen. It's not happening again.
And I don't, I'll say this: I don't think you'll see a Defender of the Year player, quality player, get traded for
something
little,
that seems very, very low
allocation third round draft pick. I mean, like allocation money. Also back then, they weren't public in how much. Mm-hmm. Now it's like Ike Opara got traded from Sporting Kansas City to Minnesota, and he was a Defensive Player of the Year. But we're talking like, I think it was like 700,000 million, kind of that level of I forgot the exact number, but we're talking a large amount of allocation dollars. Mm-hmm. I don't think Chad Marshall was getting that kind of money.
No.
The reason why they wanted to move Marshall on is because obviously he was playing with some injury issues. He definitely missed a few games here and there. But Michael Parkhurst was coming back. And he was coming back from the Bundesliga.
Ah, gotcha.
And there was an opportunity to get him and Giancarlo Gonzalez, mm-hmm. who was obviously the Costa Rican center back. And they had Higuain. They had Will Trapp, Ethan Finley. I mean, that team was really good. I don't know if you remember it. Like,
Yeah.
And Parkhurst, I mean,
I remember
was a great
like,
player.
Yeah, I remember like the Ethan Finley being kind of like a revitalizing factor, and Parker's coming back was a big thing.
Yeah, so they needed to move Marshall's contract, basically.
All right, so they were like clearing some stuff up,
getting a little allocation dollars, like, and who do they trade to?
Seattle Sounders,
who's coached by
Siggy
Schmidt.
Yeah,
because Siggy Schmidt at this point has had a lot of success in the Open Cup. But hasn't, and honestly, from day one, they always make the playoffs. They're always one of the best teams. I mean, today, the year is 2020, they still have not missed the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah.
But like, they are also one of the big spenders, right? So they're getting Stephen Fry, but they have Clint Dempsey, Obafemi Martins up top, mm-hmm. you know, and Chad Marshall is the guy that actually kind of cements that back line. What happens? Seattle, for the first time, then gets the Supporters Shield. They win the U.S. Open Cup again. I mean, at one point, they won like the Open Cup four in a row,
I think.
Yeah. MLS, Marshall again wins Defender of the Year, best 11. So at the time, you're like, all right, this makes sense. Chad, we need to get Michael Parkhurst. And again, Parkhurst has a great time in Columbus, no doubt. But we're moving on from Chad Marshall because we think he's pretty good. But he comes back immediately with his great year, right? Of a best 11 Defender of the Year. 2016, Seattle has a bad start, like a really, really bad start. They only have 20 points in 20 games. So in the All-Star break, they look like they might miss the playoffs for the first time. Mm-hmm. And they fire Siggy Schmidt, you know, after 7 straight appearances in the playoffs. 4 Open Cups, you know, 3 of them before Marshall came, and now a Supporters Shield. Still gets fired. I mean, the dude got fired twice.
Kind of unfairly, it sounds.
I mean, if you ask the Seattle fans, I bet you if you ask LA fans who were around in 2004, they were like, you know what, probably shouldn't have got rid of him. But like no leeway. You know what I mean? Like, man, no leeway.
It's harsh. It's harsh.
Yeah.
But you get Schmetzer out of it, right?
Schmetzer, who's an assistant.
Yeah.
It takes up as an interim, and they hire Nico Lodero.
Right.
And now they have like younger players like Jordan Morris, Christian Roldan.
Jordan Morris also went to Stanford.
Yeah. Right? That's true. There's a Stanford connection there.
Yeah.
And Marshall is paired with Tyrone Mears, who's also kind of a little bit older, and they go on a tear. They win 8 of the last 13 games. They make the playoffs, and like, I don't know, Stephen Fry like kind of like stands in his head during the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they beat Toronto in 2016 to win in PKs.
Like, everybody thought that Josie header was a goal, and then Fry just full extension leaning, like falling backwards.
Yeah.
Like, that save was ridiculous.
I mean, it's... like defense, like Lodero was the catalyst in turning that team from not going to make the playoffs to eventually winning MLS Cup for sure. Mm-hmm. But that playoff run, their defense was definitely like a piece, yeah. right? You know what I mean? And like,
and then Bobby Warshaw would say
that Chad Marshall,
Marshall held it down, allowing everybody to be themselves.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. He's a great locker room guy, Chad Marshall.
What do you mean?
Well,
oh, is this the is this the cartwheel thing?
Yeah, there's a really funny article about him, like, because you don't really, if you ever listen to quotes from him, it's very
they're bland. Very like yeah bland and plain. Like,
apparently in the locker room he's like a very good locker room guy, always cracking jokes, and that he's famous for doing
fun to be around.
Is he's famous for just getting naked all the time and doing cartwheels.
So does naked cartwheels. My question would be, does he do fun, silly, naked cartwheels when they lose a game? Like, that's my like that's my question. Just how fun is Chad Marshall? Just how is he willing to hold down the team?
Yeah,
and inspire everyone to be better.
I don't know.
These naked cartwheels.
I don't know. But I will say they won MLS Cup that year, 2016.
Yeah.
First time for Seattle. Toronto, I think, was the better team that day.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Seattle even registered a shot on goal in the 90.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they still, you know, they're still just, I don't know, man. Stefan Freif
just
kind of
went crazy.
Went nuts.
2017, Toronto gets their revenge in Seattle, Toronto 2.
Yeah.
With the trilogy. 2018, Chad Marshall invokes his best Robin Fraser. And he wins Best 11 again at the age of 34. Seattle eventually falls short to Portland in the playoffs.
Right.
And in 2019, what seemed like it was out of nowhere, Marshall retired midseason.
Yeah, what was the deal with that? Was it like an injury or what?
Yeah, so here's what happened, and it didn't come out until later, but like the GM at the time is Garth Lagerwey. And he gets a call, you know, as they're making moves in the middle of the season. And he's like, I feel pretty good about center back. I know Marshall's old, but he's coming off a best 11 year, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's doing some naked cartwheels. Everything looks in order.
His naked cartwheels have gone too far.
No, but like everything gone looks in too order. Far. But Schmetzer calls him and he's like, hey, we need to find a replacement for Marshall. And he's like, what are you talking about? Schmetzer's like, listen, he's like really fighting through knee injuries right now. Like, he's gutting through the games, and he's playing, and you might not see it, but like,
we definitely don't see it because he just has a smile on his face all the time.
But we need one urgently. So Largo's like, all right, cool. Like, let me go find someone. He ends up finding Arriaga, and like, he has the paperwork basically done, but they don't announce it. And that day, the team doctor is Dr. Morris, who's Jordan Morris's dad.
Whoa. Okay. I didn't know that.
Actually goes and tells Lagerwey, he's like, listen, Chad Marshall's not playing ever again. Like
it's a matter of time before he blows a knee out real bad.
He's not playing. He has to retire. Like, he can't do it. And so Marshall announced the retirement, and then they announced Arriaga. But like, honestly, it was like a few
and
weeks.
And then go on to...
And they win. Go on to then win Seattle-Toronto 3, the trilogy. Hopefully the last Seattle-Toronto
for the time being.
For a while in 2019.
Yeah.
But that's Marshall's career, man. That's, it's crazy because, like, again, he doesn't speak that often. His play speaks for him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, he was so good for so long. From 2004 to 2019.
It's like he himself has never had really a bad year. He's probably played a couple bad team years, like Columbus, or things have been dire at some points for those teams. But like, he himself has always been pretty consistently good.
He's been consistently really good. And
like
maybe
MLS fantasy, I'm probably putting Chad Marshall on my team.
Yeah, you know? And you're always...
Not that fantasy soccer is a huge thing, but, you know, I did do that.
He's good for shutouts.
Yeah.
And clearances, and great on set pieces. Might stick you a goal.
Absolutely great on set pieces.
But I think, because one of the themes we'll keep harping back on is, like, for anyone on this list, is, like, they probably played for many years in Major League Soccer. Then the question is, why did they play so many years and not leave?
Mm-hmm.
And for the first three, we talk about... some issues, like failures in the beginning of their career in Europe. And then for like Landon not wanting to go back. For Dero, it's like literally there were times he did want to go back, but the club held him back or like something went off and Moreno's injuries, right?
Right.
Marshall had one opportunity in mind, so he could have gone. But in reality, if you think about the quality in the national team level of the first three guys, like Landon is the best U.S. soccer player of all time.
Yeah.
De Rosario, in my opinion, is the best Canadian soccer player of all time.
We'll wait to see with Alfonso.
No, as of today. I mean, maybe Pulisic passed Donovan, but as of today.
Yeah.
And I think Jaime Moreno is probably not the best Bolivian player of all time. It's probably a different player, but like he's pretty pretty up there, right?
Right.
A lot of caps.
Yeah.
Chad Marshall has like 12 or 13 caps for U.S.
team,
right? He was never like the best defender we had in our pool in America. So there's a part of it where he was always the upper tier of Major League Soccer. And like, could he have gone to a second division Bundesliga team? 100% in my opinion. Could he have made it in championship level English soccer? I think so, for sure.
Yeah.
But he didn't scream as a player that was like very obviously was going to be a Premier League player like Bocanegra was, right? You know, like, and part of it I think is because like his style of play is like positioning and like big, and he doesn't have like this, like, it's not when you watch him, you don't obvious, it's not the obvious skill set that you've seen in a lot of other players, if that makes sense. Like when you see Eddie Pope, you see the obvious skill.
I know what you're talking about. It's like the physicality aspect, right?
Yeah, he's big.
He's big, but what's weird about Chad Marshall, it's like he is factually big. He doesn't play like he's, like he plays clean.
He plays clean.
He plays clean. He doesn't play big. He's, like you said, less than one foul a game.
Yeah.
He's not the presence where it's like, yeah, you come around my area and if I can get away with it, you know, and if it's outside the box, like you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
You're going to get a shoulder in the back or something like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He's a clean, like his tackles are clean. His clearances are clean.
There's a few other players, I think, that like in that same time period that seemed at the national team level, at the same level, which is like Parkhurst.
Yeah, I would say Parkhurst is similar.
And
but Parkhurst is way smaller than he is, right?
Yeah. And Parkhurst left to go to Europe, specifically in the Nordic countries first.
Yeah.
Before eventually trying to make it in the Bundesliga, which he doesn't get that many appearances, but he tried, you know, like.
Right.
And maybe in a different timeline, Marshall has that same thing, but he doesn't. He has his entire career in Major League Soccer, which is why he's number four on this list.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes sense.
And like I said, I think reading the articles, like I don't remember the exact moment in 2008, but reading the articles, it seems like if he wanted to go to Mainz, it was going to happen. And he just chose Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
And we're thankful that he did, or else we would not talk about the Chad Marshall theorem or his naked cartwheels.
Or make a shout out to Bobby Warshaw.
Or maybe we don't have Seattle winning MLS Cups.
Maybe not.
Or maybe we don't have Columbus Crew winning all those trophies back in the mid to late 2000s. So
are you going to make your own theory about no Chad Marshall in MLS, dark timeline?
the timeline.
Alternate timeline.
I like to think that timeline includes a Rebel New York MLS Cup.
Yeah, that's like the number one
bullet point. It's super dark for me. Yeah.
It's super dark.
But yeah, all respect to Marshall, man. Like an all-time great. Should have his name next to Defensive Player of the Year.
I can't be a hipster about this, man. I mean, I can't.
So your favorite moment?
No. I mean, yeah, this is my favorite moment. And again, maybe my bias is getting in the way of picking his MLS Cup winning goal. But same year, 2008, almost identically, it's a ball served in by GBS. So Scalotto plays this ball from, you know, corner of the box, top of the box. Dead ball situation, and his service into the box is perfect. It has to be so frustrating for teams playing against Chad Marshall once they see a ball served into the box that's a perfect ball.
Yeah.
Because the assumption is, yeah, Marshall's got this.
Marshall's going to attack.
The reason why I'm picking this one, which is this happened against Chicago 2008 in the playoffs, is because the guy who was marking him, defending him, is Brian McBride, who is famous for
heading the ball.
Like, and it's like McBride, who is also great in the air, and I'm sure he's not a defender, he's a forward. I got you. But still, no chance. Just no chance. Like, Marshall all over it. Perfect contact, off the crossbar, and the victim this time, this is the first time it's not Matt Reese.
Yeah.
The victim, I think, is John Bush. But, yeah, it was just quintessential Chad Marshall. And it's like, I think I'm picking this one because that one in particular, when he heads it over Brian McBride defending him, it's kind of like, it's almost like the equivalent with basketball of getting dunked on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it felt like he dunked on him.
Like, it's when it's like so clean with the header on a set piece and it's slammed into the net, the keeper barely can move, and like very often the defender, to your point, almost looked like they had no chance and often is like has fallen completely on the floor.
Right.
We should call that getting dunked on.
Yeah. So Chad Marshall dunked on Brian McBride.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's your favorite.
That's my favorite moment.
You know who I think is the spiritual successor of Chad Marshall is Ike Opara, who also continuously dunks on people on set pieces.
Even with headgear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is a great moment. I like it.
Yeah.
So that's the story of Chad Marshall, and that's the wraps of number 4. Next week we have number 5, and then we're just going to switch gears to 25 stories that made women's soccer.
Cool. I'm excited for that because I'm not going to know much at all. It's going to be all new info for me.
Yes, yes.
Any reminders, any sources?
So let's do sources. The Extra Time Bobby Warshaw talking about the Chad Marshall theorem, if you're wondering and want to listen to that.
So nerdy, but yeah.
The link to the Extra Time episode is there. Productivity, Longevity, and Nudity by Stan Stachel.
Is that the one where you found out about the naked cartwheels?
Yes.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
Berhalter trades Marshall. It's financially motivated, which is, he'll talk about like why the trade went down. And then Tom Bogert talks about the transition of Seattle and Chad Marshall, which is like the behind the scenes of how Marshall was fighting through injuries and they had to like replace him midseason.
Yeah.
So those are definitely things worth checking out. Again, if you enjoyed this episode or our podcast, please rate us on Apple Podcasts. Send reviews, tell a friend, you know. And honestly, like I said, if you have any feedback, we'd love to hear from you guys.
Also, follow the account on Twitter, which is
@25_stories.
I don't have a joke. I think you already got it. I think you got it.
How did I get it?
It's like, might as well be on his gravestone. On his headstone.
Yeah.
It's a set piece. It's a header. It's a goal. It's Chad Marshall.
He dunked on that guy, man.
He
dunked on McBride.
Awesome. Anyway, we'll catch you next time, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm the coast of the town, like Thomas. We're all on a journey.